Salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. First of all, let me apologize for the green picture. Hey, listen, if you're listening out there, Victor, I didn't bring the nice one that you gave me. So I'm operating off of this old one. We're in a dark, dingy hotel room. We got other people in here with me. And so just for convenience sake, I'm on this older computer, and the camera quality is probably not quite as good. So I apologize to you. It's not your dial. Don't try to zoom us in a little bit better. Thank God the internet's good and strong that we're able to get it out. And I was pretty proud of myself. We got hotel rooms for, what was it, $55? So I ran into Matt Tuella last night, and he got them for $49, I think he said. So when you travel with me, you better be ready to sleep with the bed bugs. That's the way I travel. But actually, we found this place here in Granite City that...
Granite City?
Yeah, you heard me right. We're in Granite City, and it's actually a very clean... What's the name of it?
Econo Lodge.
It's not that. What was that other place called, David, that we stayed in Indianapolis?
The low quality inn.
This is not the low quality inn. This is the Econo Lodge in Granite City, and it's actually, you know, it's about 10 minutes from our place last night. It worked out really, really well, and the rooms are clean, beds are clean. Penny said she did a good bed bug check. There didn't seem to be any bed bugs. So, you know, you travel with me. I ain't paying 80 when I can pay 50. It's just kind of the way I roll, you know. So. If 2 weeks from now they come up with bed bug bites, I'm going to apologize to all of them. And Flea Flicker Friday, appreciate you all being with us. I hate to use the term heavy heart. I got a heavy heart today. David Arthur came in here this morning, and first thing he said I wept last night, and so I want to try to preface this. I'm lighthearted. Don't get me wrong, but I just I'm rarely without short of words. But as you know, we're here in St. Louis for the Urbana 2018. 20,000 young people there last night. And there are 20,000 young people. And I was the whole time I was out there last night. I had my cross hat on. I thought, man, this is a home crowd, man. Which I don't get to play many home games. This is a home game right here with our good Christian friends and everything. And I want to preface something right up front that you don't judge a book by its cover, how they say, right? You don't judge I'm not trying to pass judgment on anything. I got my buddy Jim Kraft sent me a couple texts yesterday, one's really right on, about InterVarsity, who are the ones that are putting on this Urbana 2018. And Jim tell me all the good things that they do and the global missions and the global outreach and how his life was changed by InterVarsity. So I'm not in any way casting aspersions towards InterVarsity, okay, please. I told David, Arthur, and Ray this morning, my life was radically, I'm telling you, radically changed by Promise Keepers. Back in the early 1989, 90, really radically changed. And I look at Promise Keepers today, and Promise Keepers is just a shadow of its old self. In fact, I don't even know if they're still having conferences or what's going on. And I was a guy whose life was changed. So it's like anything else, you know, it's easy for us to sit on the outside and throw stones. And I made some, you know, I kind of beat on Urbana 2018 the other day, just maybe based out of ignorance, but looking at the program and what was going on. And you guys know, you know where I come from, right? I'm come from activism and that we're to occupy till he comes. You understand where I am. And you understand also where I am in my thought process, that we have a great responsibility to discipleship, not just getting people saved. And so I think probably some of the things I said about, you know, about Urbana 2018 were out of my own frustrations. And Jim said, you know, a fool answers before he knows the whole story. So I'm not casting aspersions at all at Urbana. Okay. I got to share some stuff with you that we would all like to share with you that you know what I really came away with last night was a powerful self-introspection of me and doesn't impact me. How do others, folks, how does the lost world view us, Christians? How does the lost world view us? Because, you know, they do have an opinion. They do have a preconceived idea. And just like I had this preconceived idea about Urbana 2018 and InterVarsity so much, because I know they're doing good stuff. My frustration comes from the fact that, you know, we're going around the world and America's being destroyed. I understand we have the call to go ye into all the world. I understand that. I'm struggling to get out what I feel here. Okay, so stay with me a second. And I share it with the folks, the five of us that are in this room. And I want to salute David Arthur for coming with me, and Penny Miller, and she brought her son Aaron for the first time from Wisconsin, and Ray LeBlanc. They drove all night to be down here. Matt Twell is down here with a skeleton crew again, brought mostly his family, and out there handing out literature. And the purpose we're out there handing out literature is we're trying to awaken people to the plight of the preborn child. That's it. And David Arthur's out there handing out literature on I Was Gay and handing out his flyers to Trump because we think these things are critically important, you know? And I want all of you to know, listen, I'm not a better Christian because I do street ministry, and I understand street ministry isn't for everybody. I understand this. I'm not here today because I'm trying to encourage people to do street ministry. I'm not here to say to people, you're not a very good Christian because you don't do what I do. That's not what I'm trying to say at all. Okay, that was not my purpose. My purpose was there's 20,000 people here, probably under the age of 22, 23, probably. They're the generation, can I tell you, be honest, they're ambivalent about abortion. They're ambivalent about it. They really don't care. They're ambivalent. David Arthur, I'll let David come up here. He can talk here in a minute. He's a big boy. He can talk himself. Here's a living, breathing guy who's come out of homosexuality, and there's really not a whole lot of interest with him. I don't know if they think homosexuality is a sin or not. Folks, understand, I'm talking about the individual Christian. I'm not talking about Urbana 2018. I'm talking about me and you and how the Christian world views us. And I walked away last night grieved. I was grieved in my spirit over their unwillingness to even take literature out of our... I have on a hat. You see this hat? I have on a hat. I've got on Christian attire with a crowd of Christian people, and they would not take a tract out of my hand. We had a tract that says, Jesus loves the little children. It's all it says on the outside, and we're handing that out, and David's had a flyer we were handing out. I am gay, and kind of tells his story. And the intellectual curiosity. Somebody said it. Maybe it was David. Hey, Jared, 2 Timothy chapter 3, real quickly. David Arthur, I think it was, used the term haughty. Haughty. I thought I was in the midst of a home crowd. I'm not, listen, I'm talking about what is the Christianity we are teaching the next generation? What is it? But don't miss this. Many of these people, many of them were Asian, many of them. So InterVarsity is obviously reaching the world. They obviously are. Many, many, many Asian. So it's good. But what's the gospel that we're giving them? That's my concern. Yeah, come on in.
Yeah, I was just going to ask the same question. There's a whole lot of people out there producing wannabes, but if they don't give them enough information to become, all they did is, is put those people in a more precarious position now than they were when they were in the world, because now they think they're part of the family.
Well, Larry, here's what I know. And I said this last night as we had our great post-game meal at Hardee's. I said, there's no doubt these people love Jesus. I mean, they've dedicated their lives to it. And they spent thousands of dollars to come to be at this event. These folks love Jesus. What was the disconnect? See, I felt a sense of, for lack of a better word, why is it Christians tend to denominate? I felt a sense of, as we were out there ministering, I'm not talking about Urbana 2018, I'm talking about me and you and everyday Christians. Why is it that we as Christians are so close-minded to what someone else wants to talk about in regards to our faith? Whether it be speaking in tongues, whether it be the cultural impact that we're supposed to have, whether it be abortion. Why are Christians, somebody help me here. Are we close-minded? Is that what we saw? Close-minded. Now, it goes even deeper than that, because those who were in charge of the event last night were actually telling the people to stay away from us. We're not part of the program. Don't take literature from us. We're not with them. I love Jesus. And the response that we got a lot of times from people would say, hey, can I give you some literature? Can I give you a gospel track? I'd say, give you a gospel track? No, I'm good. I said, you're good? How about taking one and giving it to somebody who's not good? Jared, are you at 2 Timothy?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Larry. Okay.
All those people Jesus told, depart from me, they dedicated their lives to him. They claimed they did their lives in ministry to him. They loved him. They never did what was necessary. It goes back to your question, what is the gospel? And we've got to stop giving excuses for people. We've got to tell them what the gospel is and tell them, instead of telling them they're okay, they're just working with what they have.
But listen, Larry, this is introspection for me. I asked myself 20 times last night, maybe more, how are people viewing me? In my everyday walk, I wasn't trying to be so much critical of the kids that were there. I was asking myself, golly, do I come across like that? Is that fair, Ray, to say that? Do I come across like that? Do I come across as, dare I use that word, haughty? Say haughty, yeah, right here, 2 Timothy. Let me click on this thing a second if I figure out how to make it work here on my computer. This know also, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Hey, I'm talking about me. Talking about old ball-headed Ray over here. I'm talking about old alphabet man here, all right? I'm not talking about those kids out on the street. I'm talking about me and you. This know also that in the last days perilous time shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Wow. They weren't interested in any new information. Covetous. They were not interested in the plight of the preborn. They were there for themselves. Huh? Covetous, boasters, proud. How does pride appear? Does a pride appear as a know-it-all attitude? I'm right, you're wrong, I know it all. I don't want any new information, no thanks. I don't read that, no. Proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those who are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, haughty, high-minded, heady, traitors, heady, high-minded, that's haughty. Are we haughty? You know, the last thing I want to be is haughty. Sometimes I think, maybe talking about me now, Sometimes introspection comes across as haughtiness. Sometimes when you analyze, you come across as distant. Sometimes when you're trying to protect yourself, when you're uncomfortable, you can come across as haughty, high-minded, better than you. So I trying to figure out, I kept saying last night, these guys will attest to it here. So what's the spirit here? What's the spirit? What is the spirit that I'm feeling? As I'm out here amongst 20,000 of my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I'm clearly not welcomed. Would you agree with that, David? You can come on in here a second, David. Did you feel welcome there as brother?
You know what, Coach,
do I need to mute Jared? Is there
back? Yeah. We drove here, and I couldn't wait to get here. I was so excited about interacting, and about not being outside of an abortion clinic, about not being at a homosexual parade, about interacting with Christians. And I was so disappointed. I was so I didn't even have words for it. I had never seen such ignorance. I get a more warm welcome at the homo parade than I got at a Christian convention. A Christian convention. And I have to disagree with you. Most of them didn't spend thousands of dollars to get there. Thousands of dollars were spent on them to get there. They were definitely lovers of self. You could tell in their dress, in their electronics, in their makeup, in their hair, in their attitude. When I saw a group, more than once, I saw a group of these people actually ignore Ray LeBlanc or each of us. Just, I mean, completely ignore. Look right through us. Look right past us. We were not there. They were above us. We were below them. They were not esteemed. They did not esteem themselves they did not esteem us greater than them. They were the rudest, most ignorant people. And I do put it off to the university. I do put it off to the university because when we first got there, there were a few little groups of people who were very welcoming and they wanted to talk. And then they started coming out, the people running it, the people from the university started coming out and saying, hey, they're not with us. They're not part of this convention. And then we started noticing that they were going to the groups in the hotel and then across the street in the convention center. And every single student from that moment on that came out of either the hotel or the convention center totally ignored us. They were told, do not speak to them. Do not take anything from them. And you know how I know it was that? Because then I look at the people that were pulling into the parking lot and coming across. Some of them were actually taking tracks. They were taking books. And what I got was when I gave out all my books that I had brought out there. But I tell you what, they weren't interested in me. They were interested in taking that book and seeing what was wrong with it and how it was theologically unstable. That's what they were looking for. And this morning on my show, I'm going to ask some of them if they think you're created that way or not. Because if they say yes, if they say it's a lifestyle, not a death style, then it's the university. That's the fault, where the fault lays.
So I want to clarify something. Those of you who've done street ministry with me probably think, well, of course they won't come near you, Coach, right? Listen, I was standing there with my cross hat on. We weren't preaching. We weren't doing anything. We were standing on the corner, smiling, starting conversations, handing out literature that they would not take, right? Now, David or somebody, maybe it was Ray, made the point last night. Listen, folks, I'm asking what's wrong with us, not them, okay? Are we able to see ourselves the way that It's an introspection I'm doing to myself here, not them. David Arthur is standing there holding a book of him. Wouldn't there be some, wouldn't a Christian have some intellectual curiosity? Tell me your story. Tell me more. David lived 30 years as a woman, and Christ pulled him out of that. And they would look over at him, they'd say, well, God bless him. Keep right on loving. No intellectual curiosity.
Who was interested, Coach? Who was interested? Who actually stopped to talk to any of us? The locals. So that's how the world sees us. They want to talk to us. They want to interact with us. We're talking about these kids who have been indoctrinated.
They have.
And brainwashed.
College kids.
Well, Dave, I was just saying, your question, I don't know if it was rhetorical or not. It's because, you know, it reminds me of a song at church camp. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, because they ain't.
No, they ain't.
And that's what it is. They have the Christian idea.
Jared, Webster's Jared. Keep going, Chad. I'm sorry. Webster's Jared, before I forget. Haughty. H-A-U-G-H-T-Y.
Haughty. They know his characteristics. They do not know Jesus.
David said they know his characteristics, but they don't know. Folks, listen, I'm talking about me. How is the world viewing me? Now, I'm a little odd of an apple. I understand that. Okay, I get that. How's the world? I watched Ray LeBlanc work that crowd last night, and he was so loving and non-confrontational. And they wouldn't give Ray a time of the day. Not time of the day. Now, Matt, we were there because Pastor Matt Twella, they've been doing it for 18 years. He was there last night with his family, and they did it for 18 years. And you know that they called him 3 years ago and asked him, please not to come back. Please not to come back. And all he's doing out there is holding some. He didn't have any signs last night. No signs. And he was out there trying to make people aware of abortion and what's happening to their preborn neighbor, and the wonderful track they made, Jesus Loves the Little Children. And then you open it up and it goes into, why don't we? Why don't we love the little children? And the disconnect. So why? What are we missing? So did you pull up Webster's there, Jerry? I think you did. Sorry for putting my glasses on. I get a reflection like that. So I'm a little bit paranoid. What is haughty? Proud and disdainful. Having a high opinion of oneself with some contempt for others, lofty and arrogant. Hey, is that me? Christians, is that you, Larry? Do you come across like that, Larry? Do you come across like that, Chad? David Arthur, do you come across like that? Jeff Klein, you come across like that? People look at you, think, yeah, that know-it-all. Huh? He's proceeding from excessive pride, because I want to tell you something. Those kids love Jesus, or they wouldn't have been there. What is going on? Somebody come in here and help me out.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
It's like two worlds are colliding. And, you know, what we talked about earlier this week, how people, there's no curiosity because you're being told, oh, don't go to those people. They're weird or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so they follow the leadership. There's no really curiosity. And that's what it's just, yep. They're products of the environment that they've been told.
You know what I saw? Paul, you know what else I saw? David may be right. If one of you other guys want to jump in here, you can jump in here on David's phone. Or yeah. Hey, hang on a minute, Larry. Hang on a minute. You know what else I didn't see? I'm very careful. See if anybody's looking.
You know, they have been.
Larry, hang on. There wasn't any testosterone.
None.
Zero testosterone. Go ahead, Larry.
They love Jesus according to the false
Well, to what they've been taught.
The first premise of love they've been taught. They don't love Jesus according to love, true love. They love Jesus according because of what it has nothing to do with loving Jesus as the Son of God.
No, Larry, I understand that. Here's the question I'm asking. Do we come across that same way? Do I love Jesus? Do I come across as haughty? These people weren't being haughty on purpose. They were just haughty.
They didn't I would say no. And the reason is because you were rejected. So obviously, I think that they sensed a real, just like with, Lee, I forgot his name already. Mark, right? And they asked him not to come back. They asked him not to come back because he has a greater impact. It's causing controversy and people to think and stuff. So, you just have the monotone voice.
So, Chad, today we're at we're going to go down there again this morning, and then at noon, Matt's breaking out some pictures, big pictures. Now, folks, listen. There is no doubt in my mind, and all these guys that were here last night. I can tell you two things. Those people last night, for the most part, I'm not criticizing Urbana. I'm talking about Christians. Those kids there last night, number one, do not hate abortion. They don't hate abortion. They may be pro-life. They don't hate abortion. And I can tell you, number two, I don't have any evidence. I can't show you any charts. I can't show you any surveys, but I'm going to tell you, they weren't impressed by David Arthur's testimony because they don't think homosexuality is an issue. I'm just telling you.
Coach?
Yep.
I know even in my own denomination, I've approached them, and they now basically don't have anything to do with me, but they like to state, they call abortion and homosexuality and all this stuff as controversial issues. They stay with world peace and feed the hungry. Stay on those things and you're Denny, controversial.
Denny, can I drop that mic? Boom, boom. That's what it is, right?
They love the mercy ministries.
Dale.
Prophetic ministry.
There it is, Dale.
Not battle ready for the battle at hand.
They're not ready. Now understand this. We're talking about young kids who, for the most part, have given some time of their life to go overseas. I mean, it's a sacrifice. I mean, I understand some of it's exciting as a young child. I understand that. But some of them have chosen to go overseas and go to places that I don't go. I'm not going to go Guatemala, give up my easy lifestyle. So I'm not being critical of that. I'm asking the question of this question. Why were we not embraced? Are we haughty? Do we come across as I'm a better Christian than you because we're out here?
What? That question was answered last night.
David speaking.
The locals stopped.
Yeah, David said he's right. The local lost people. They stopped.
Hey, Coach?
Yeah.
Maybe they don't like salt.
Right. Maybe they don't like salt.
It just comes down to the old adage of it's us and them.
But how did it become that way, Chad? We weren't criticizing them. We weren't doing anything. We were handing out literature. We just had literature. Didn't Billy have one of those Jesus Loves Little Children flyers? Do you have one of those? Give me one of those David Arthur. We don't have. I got all kinds. It doesn't matter, Ray. It doesn't matter.
You went to a salt-free church.
Say it again, Mark.
To a salt-free church. But think about how hard it is to get adult Christians that we work with out of their seats and to be activists.
Right.
These are kids. This is exactly opposite what they're being taught.
Mm-hmm.
What
your activism in their face, and they're not being taught to be activism. They're being taught to be gentle and kind and accepting of others. which is opposite putting it in their face.
Yeah.
When those pictures come out, it's going to be a free-for-all.
That's when the discussion, you know what? Listen, Matt Chawella told me last night, he says, Coach, that's when the discussions will begin, because you know why? They hate the pictures more than they hate abortion.
Yeah.
I thought, boy, oh boy, there you
are. Amen. I believe that. Yeah.
I believe that. There's what David handed out. I'm gay. You could be too. They wouldn't even take them. They wouldn't even take it. Folks, I can't tell you how non-confrontational we were. We were just standing there handing out flyers.
Coach, it's not you. They're non-confrontational. They're not ready for an engagement in the battle, brother. They have not been trained. They have not been prepared. Therefore, they can't be confrontational, even with the true enemies in the gates, when they can't even come with what you got to bring them. I believe the reason why they have skinny, tight jeans is because they eat too much sugar. And today, the salt's about to come out of the salt shaker with them pitchers.
Yeah.
Coach, think about.
Oh.
Go ahead, Mark.
I was just saying, if you think about the disciples going back into their towns, into the temples and places that they know were bad whenever they were with Jesus, and they went back into their towns and saw how they were rejected, right? These are supposed to be, you know, places that were wholesome and Christian and were waiting on Christ and all this, but then I'm sure the disciples ran into this, but the disciples weren't screwed up because they didn't fit in.
Mm.
So don't be too hard on yourself.
I'm not being hard. I'm trying to figure us out.
Yeah.
Dave, I think it just kind of came to me, I guess. They are the Give Us Barabbas crowd. That's who they are.
Well, yeah. But see,
they think that they're doing right, see?
They do. That's it, Chad. See, they think that's what I saw more than anything last night. And we are all guilty of this. We're all guilty of this. They think they know what's right and they know the truth and they don't want to hear what you have to say. By the way, isn't that the spirit of denominationalism? Isn't that what it is?
Okay, Coach.
Yeah.
Here's Randy. Hey, here's what I see. This is the reality of it. There's two priesthoods here. There's two priesthoods. Here's the picture. I'm an Old Testament guy. I love the Old Testament because there's pictures in there that we can see and practice right now.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Here's the picture. You had the Zadok priesthood and the Abiathar priesthood. You had both of them carried the ark. They both believe in the Christ, but look, the Zadok priesthood is the one that stood with King Solomon and brought him in. Abiathar was the high priest that went with the other priest that was not of God. And it wasn't what God was doing at all. Okay. Now you go into Ezekiel and it shows you what the outcome of those priesthoods. The Zadok priesthood is the one that brought Christ in the end, because the Abiathar priesthood was, they took the people into idolatry. So what we have here is a picture of this, Coach. We're trying to walk in the thing, what God is doing now. And we can, because we're not part of that system. They are part of that system, and they can't see it because they're part of that system.
Randy, I told a story. This two story. This about goes back about 15 or 20 years. I went to an event where we had a missionary came and spoke. And I think he was in somewhere in Kenya, somewhere in Africa. I can't remember where it was. And I'll never forget that afterwards we went out to like Hardee's like we did last night, and we were sitting around the table having a meal, and I'll never forget. He leaned across the table and he looked me right in the eye and he said, please don't send us any more American missionaries. He says, the gospel they bring does not help our people. I'll never forget that. We have an American gospel. And I want to ask, this is what I can't get away from this morning. I was among the cream of the cream of the cream of young kids who have dedicated their lives to go to the mission field, and they wouldn't even stop and have a conversation with a fellow believer. I can't explain to you what I felt like.
You know, Coach, Coach, you guys want to hear for a minute?
This
makes your sense. Do you hear me?
Hang on, Ray. Let me mute here a second.
Yeah. One thing I got out of it, we were all full of compassion to interact with other Christians. Like Coach was saying, there was 20,000 there that we could have had such an impact in St. Louis this weekend. You just think of the Calvary in the natural realm. If you're in a war and you see some more troops coming your way, mm-hmm. you get so excited. Hey, come join us, man. Let's go. We can take this. We can take this battle. Here we got 20,000 strong Christians, and we're excited. We're going to interact with these guys, and they don't want nothing to do with us. What? How are we going to win this battle?
Hey,
it just blows the mind. That's why we're a little bit discouraged, because we should be interacting with each other and not so judgmental. And I'm better than you, and this is my mission, and I don't want anything to do with your mission. We gotta get our act together. That's all.
See, I'm looking at the body. I'm looking at all of us. I don't want you to think I'm pointing the finger at them and saying they're lousy Christians. That's not what I'm saying. What is going on that we're so divided that in St. Louis there's 20,000 of us and they won't even talk to us?
Coach.
Hey, Coach.
What you're experiencing is what I went through for over three decades before I found Pass the Salt. And you understand the joy and the exuberance that I have inside, because I have found a place where there are my brothers.
Amen, Larry. Amen, Larry. You hit it.
But we have to be very careful. I agree. Thank you, Larry. I agree. But we have to be very careful as coming across as we're the know-it-alls. Don't worry about
how you come across. Worry about what the Spirit wants you to say. The Spirit may want you to smack them with a verbal slap.
I understand that. And hey, Larry, Coach. I do. But some of this stuff matters. That's all I'm saying. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, you talked yesterday about salt. Well, you can take that scripture, and they're salt, but they've lost the form of salt.
Yeah, they didn't want our salt, I can tell you.
And when that salt is not useful anymore, it becomes what they call gypsum. Mm. And that's what the Romans used to pave their roads. So it's still salt, but it's not what it was supposed to be.
So gypsum's cast out and trodden under the foot of men because they turn it into roads. Are you kidding me? Pavement.
And that's what a lot of Christianity is. But also, too, you hit something on very, very hard about the American gospel. What the gospel in America is, basically, is enhancing the American dream. It's not mm-hmm. the gospel. And that's what's happening, is these kids are being taught a gospel that's just a form of the gospel, but it's not really the gospel. Mm-hmm. And then when they go to these mission fields, they present that to these foreign countries, and they think that's what the gospel is. It's not.
Paul, I'm a football coach. You understand that last night I was in the middle of the draft. I'm looking around at all these great players, and nobody would talk to me. You understand my frustration? This is it. This is the cream of the cream. These guys get it, man. They're sold out for Jesus. I got my cross hat on. I'm smiling. I'm being kind, really out of character. And they won't even talk to me. They won't even take a piece of paper.
Well, they're scared of you.
The Bible tells us,
why.
Coach.
Yeah. Go ahead, Serge.
Doesn't the Bible tell us even the elite will be deceived?
Yeah, well.
And I guess that proves to you.
The elect.
Sorry.
Okay, so listen, this is what worries me, though. It matters. I don't want to. We all run the risk of thinking we got it. Nobody else does. And I don't want that to ever become us. It's so easy to fall in that trap. If you just thought like we did, we have to be really, really careful, because that's what all of them were saying. If you just thought like us, the organizers of Urbana 2018, they probably think street ministry is ineffective. We don't think like them, so therefore they warn people, don't be like them. We don't even see ourselves as one body and many members.
Yeah.
We don't see it. We don't understand. We don't understand the importance. I don't appreciate those who go to China or those who go to Guatemala, but they don't appreciate what I do. We don't have the common respect for each other's gifts. It's you do ministry this way, boom, or you don't, or you're wrong. That's the spirit. That's the haughty spirit. And I got to tell you, it's in all of us. It's in all of us. And as I started out the show, I'm taking an introspection of me, understanding not that I'm going to change who I am to please them, but it is important that I understand how they view me. That makes all the difference in the world. Because if I understand how they view me, then it helps me in the way that I try to present to them, right?
Yep.
And so as I said,
well, why not also go and have a conference with the head people there who slandered you and get them straight.
Matt Tuella's already done that. Matt's already done that. Now, I think it was David or Ray, somebody really hit onto it. The influences of our universities are beyond what we can even understand. What they're being taught in university. Hey, guys, tolerance, diversity, acceptance, who are you to judge? Let me tell you something. If we think that that has not infiltrated and clouded the way they think, we're gravely mistaken. And so they are operating with the gospel as they know it and not really open to anything else. I had another discussion last night with a group that was on the street. It was amazing. Another group that was out there trying to evangelize, and I'm thinking these guys are nuts, just like they're probably thinking we are, right? They're holding signs. And we talked to this one guy who absolutely would never, he is so nonviolent that what's that guy's name? Makes one of those Hindu guys.
Gandhi.
He makes Gandhi look like a hood. This guy, he said he would not intervene. If his wife was being raped by an intruder, he would not intervene. He said he would stand back and he would pray for the man. But he would not physically intervene. We saw this last night on the street too, right? So I'm just venting this morning, man. I'm not judging the salvation of those kids. I don't know. They're there. They're the ones that are in China. It ain't my big fat butt. I'm safe here eating hearty hamburgers right in St. Louis. So, you know, we got to be careful. My question is, why are we so unwilling to work as a team? I don't get it. Go ahead, Chad.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, I would ask that same guy who was so passive. Well, are you going to press charges on him?
No.
And the guy, he's not going to defend his wife, Chad, or press charges on him.
Jesus.
I just don't have any use for those people.
Chad, Jesus never sued anybody. So he told me. Paul, I talked to him. I didn't talk to him very long. I realized this one wasn't going to go someplace good, right? So I said, "You're my brother. Hey, go be. God bless you, buddy. Go do what the Lord's called you to do." I wasn't going to try to change his mind. He's trying to change your mind.
If you kept talking to him, he'd probably pull the rest of your hair out.
Yeah. Well, I got it cut. See, that wouldn't be much to grab hold of.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
You know, when the disciples were with Christ, there was one time when other people were preaching something that they were false, and they asked Christ, "Do you want us to pray down fire upon them?" And remember that? And he said, "Oh, no, not right now." Which means they have the ability to do that, and they've seen some things Jesus do that's not written in the Bible, my guess.
Well, didn't he tell me one time when Jesus fought back? That's what he told me.
How about in the temple?
No, he didn't fight back, and he didn't fight back. No, no, no.
He didn't make it. He didn't make a whip in that temple and start beating people.
Well, he didn't beat any people. If he did, it was by accident. That was for sure. Because he
that was an illusion.
Yeah. No. So anyway, listen.
We have got to stop apologizing for not stepping up and telling those people the clear truth, whether they like it or not. They need to hear it, because if we don't tell them, people who don't know the truth can't tell them.
Well, Larry, I didn't apologize not once. And I'm not talking about apologizing. I'm talking about having a dialogue with people who we don't understand and they don't understand us. And the question is, how did Christianity get to this point where those of us who serve the same Christ are so at odds with each other? That's my question.
Well, I mean, Dave, we have 11,000 different Protestant denominations, 11,000. That's 11,000 guys that thought that their idea, or 10,000 that thought that their idea was better than the other guys.
I'm with you, man. I'm with you. Okay, so I'm going to quit whining and moaning.
It's ego.
We're going to go out today, and Matt's going to break the signs out about noon, although he said not real graphic signs. He just brought some photos. He said they'll warm up a little bit, and they'll start arguing because it is what it is. Listen, here's what we got to do. I just noticed this. I got to get Mark Trump. I got to give Mark Trump a day. Say what you mean a day. I'm telling you, he sent me some more stuff. Trump, I can't even keep up with you, man. The stuff that you sent me. And listen, you're going to also want at, we got 15 minutes here. David Arthur's show's coming on at 9 o'clock, right, David?
Yeah.
And David's going to be doing it from down there on the street. So maybe you'll get a little bit of a feel for what's going on. See, we don't understand. Dare I say it, Jared, go to Webster's for me real quickly. Webster's. Anybody want to jump in here while I'm going to try to bring the, I don't want to come across as an angry white man. All right. I'm not. I'm very, very introspective today.
We definitely need to pray that the Holy Spirit will guide all you guys down there and have the right words to say to lead these people, because they're definitely being blinded by their leaders, and they will not give you a time of day.
Right.
Scripture that comes to mind to me that says every man was right in his own eyes.
Dale, are you ready? Are you ready for this? Let me get my guitar out here. I wish I was Dale Socia. I hear tell the road to hell was paved with good intentions, and darling, my intentions were the best. That's Christianity. That's American Christianity. My intentions were good. My intentions were good. Those kids' intentions were good. The leadership's intentions are good. Everybody's intentions are good.
Don't overestimate the purpose for you being there. It could be for one person.
Could be to educate me, Mark. It could be.
I've never seen you this way, Coach. It's kind of interesting.
No, it was really. I don't want to say life changing, but it was life changing last night. I thought, as David said, I thought I was going into a team huddle. I was going to go. I thought we were going to be, people were going to take our literature and smile. And you know what they were doing? How about this? You guys ever seen this before? Everybody walking down the street.
You got overrun by a soy boy army. And you haven't, and that's exactly what's happened. You've been overrun by a soy boy army, and that's the way these kids have been trained up. They drink them soy lattes every day. That's why you saw no testosterone, and that's what's happening to our culture. And actually, you've been asking, how did we get here? And I'm going to say this, and I'm probably going to make somebody mad, but I'm going to say this. It's probably through Billy Graham Ministries and through any number of the ministries that we had before on TV.
Amen.
It was all mercy and all about love and about standing up for and filling the gap.
Amen.
Their intentions were good.
Hey, Coach. Here's an idea. What you ought to do is come out to the street, put your fake glasses on, have some skinny jeans and a latte in your hand, and pass out your tracks to see what happens.
Well, somebody, Penny's over there saying, somebody said that last night. Oh, yeah. Or Matt Tuella said, what we have to do is we have to get farther away from the venue. Get farther away from the venue where the people are coming in. Because it's like when they walk, this huge place holds 20,000 people. As soon as like they get under the cover of that thing, something's going on.
Hey, Coach, are you downtown? Is that where you are?
Yes, we are, right downtown.
Near that big old huge stadium?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I used to play football in. Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Just around the corner. Just right down by the arch. Yeah. There's 20,000 of them, Paul. Yeah. These are guys, these are people I thought were they're on our team, I thought. What's that? Yeah. Aaron said three conversations. First time he's ever come to one of these things. Three conversations. Real conversations. Three. We were there
so,
3 hours.
Maybe to enlighten stuff, could I ask Dale
please?
Or sure, Larry, man. How often in the Bible that the men who spoke the truth, that brought the truth, ended well by the standards of the world? I think I remember lots of beheadings and crucifixions and stonings and chasing outs and scourgings and
stoning.
Isn't that right?
I don't lose my head.
You're not going to be liked. You're not going to be liked. We do
if
not.
If you're not stirring up the bee's nest and the wasp and getting them coming after you, you're not doing your job.
You mean like Elijah, where King Ahab called him a troublemaker? You mean like Isaiah, who was sawn in half? You mean like Jeremiah, who was thrown into
Amen.
A You mean like those who lived in foxholes and dens, destituted and despised, hungry? Yeah, those ones. Oh, yeah, like Coach and like Matt Travilla and like, you know, the rest of the men down there doing this. Yeah, that's about right.
I'm wondering if the Holy Spirit's there with this group.
Well, David used an example last night. He was trying to give some track to some girl, and as she's walking by, and she's having a conversation. David hands her a track, snarls at him, says something, continues walking, and saying, "Oh, yes, and the Lord was saying to me," talking to her friend, right? Snarls, and, "Oh, yeah, the Holy Spirit was talking to me." Snarled at Matt. I don't know how I've come across here. Listen, I understand this. I understand what happened to all the guys in the first century. I understand what happens to those who are radical and live out their faith. I understand it. Wouldn't you think out of 20,000, there'd be some who would be gravitated towards? And I'm going to tell you something, fellas. They got a different gospel. Maybe mine's wrong. I'm going to tell you this. My gospel ain't theirs. It isn't.
No, hey, Coach, your gospel's right, Coach. I can feel it. I know. It's, you know, the Holy Spirit doesn't lie. Your gospel's right.
I thank you. I appreciate that. I want to be right for the Lord's sake. I don't want to be right just to be right.
Amen.
Well, Coach, the scripture says that in Proverbs 27:17, "As iron sharpens iron." So there's a thing, and it creates spark. They'd rather clash the latte straws.
Yeah, they aren't iron, are they, Dale? Huh? They're not iron.
The latte straws from Starbucks or Starbucks ice cream.
Yeah. So listen. I'm happy. I'm so glad I came, because boy, what a lesson! What a lesson we learned last night. And guys, again, if we don't think that the university atmosphere influences our children, if we don't think that the university is the salt of the world, boy, we are greatly, greatly mistaken. Coach. We are really, really mistaken, because they have that college attitude with a little bit of Christianity worked in with it, is the way that I see it.
Yeah, hey, Coach.
Yes,
it's horrible. It's horrible. This is where they're poisoning our youth. This is where it all starts. You know, I mean, it's bad enough we have these drag queens in our kindergartens. Okay, but our colleges, this is what it is. It might as well be drag queens in colleges with all this crap.
Yeah. I think David,
Coach.
Hang on a second, David. Let's say something.
Okay.
Galatians chapter 1. "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not... But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed." That's that fake gospel that Jesus said would be ever present in this day.
So it seemed to me, one of the marks or one of the evidences of whether or not you are preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, does persecution follow you? Would you say that would be a fair, that would be a fair
yes.
litmus test?
Yes.
Does persecution follow you as you preach? Or is everybody open to what it is that you're having to say? I think that'd be a good litmus test. Go ahead, Denny.
I was just going to say, in preparation of having you guys come here the 27th, we have William Penn University here in town. I know the retired pastor that is in charge of FCA, and he came over to my house a couple weeks ago, all excited how it is just growing and growing and growing and growing. I said, you know, I've got Coach Dave coming, and I have David Arthur coming. I said, wouldn't it be great to have them come over and visit with your FCA? And he got death silent, and no, they're not interested. My brother is a professor of religion at that college, and I asked, I said, could they come and speak at your class on the religion? He says, no, we're staying away from controversial things. I said, Jesus now is controversial, and it used to be a Christian college. Yeah, the Mormons and the Muslims that come in here and are the dean and all this stuff, but Jesus is controversial. It just blows my mind.
It blows mine too.
Hey, Coach.
Hey, Jeff.
I'll share some of this, what's going on right now. This kind of ties to what you're saying. Remember 4 or 5 months ago, we did the homeless camp down there. We had some fruit come out of it. We had a lot of them hating us, the ones that thought we disturbed their woods because we got brought the gospel there. Well, now I still have that husband and wife. And you know how it is when you're dealing with some of them. You've dealt with them in the rough time you have for month after month dealing with somebody like that. It's not easy. Well, the man and woman, she's in the wheelchair. They're living in my other building over there, that other building I have on my car lot in that office area. And it's not great. It's just pitiful. So they've been in there 4 or 5 months now. I'm working with them, dealing with stuff that goes on. The guy stole a candy bar from the store across the street. He stole a couple of things from me. I'm dealing with this. But that Wednesday, Mount Vernon News put a full article out. They've been coming and asking me questions, the newspaper office, not Christians. So I let them run a story, and I stayed out of it. I just stepped back and said, do what you got to do. I want to see what happens to this. Wednesday on the Mount Vernon News, the whole front page is a picture of her wheelchair. They're sleeping on the ground, picture of them in that building over there, different things. And then they also have the winter sanctuary on there for the homeless people at some of the churches are running in town. I mean, this was, and the whole front page, and you got the whole of half the back side of the page. I mean, it's huge. I haven't had one Christian or one pastor get a hold of me yet. And I've just kind of stepped back and not say nothing. But these people need some help. They need a little assistance, a little head start. It's pitiful. I went to the barber shop yesterday. The three barbers in there that I know, I'm almost positive they're not Christians, they were more intrigued by that story and wanting to talk about that great story. And they looked at me and said, Jeff, you really have them living in that old car wash building? That's what was better than the tent with water running through it down by the river. You know, and I've got some Christians telling me, oh, just get them out of there. You don't need that around your business. Just get them out of there. Because I got homeless people coming to visit them, and I've got to kind of run them off a little bit. It gets a little carried away, you know. But
see, here, I haven't heard anymore yet. Let me cut to the chase here. Dale, I'm going to let you close it out because you got to avoid crystallized things. Here's what I don't understand. Apart from Christ, everybody's homeless. Everybody's homeless apart from Christ. And until we stand up and speak about who this guy is, who our Heavenly Father really is, that he has a house for everybody, but everybody's going to live in his house by his rules and by his regulations and not based on what you feel. We're never going to get this thing right. Wrap it up for me, Dale.
I think of Jeremiah as a young man who went out, as the Lord says, and I'm putting my words in your mouth, and you are to tell them everything that I tell you. But Jeremiah, I want you to know, they will not listen to you. But you know something, Coach? He still had to do what the Lord told him. And I pray for you and Matt and David and everybody else is this. The words the Lord puts in your mouth, you are to speak all of them today in Jesus' name.
Amen. Father, and we will. And Mark Trump, I want you to know that I'm here today because the Lord wanted to show me something. So this whole thing has been about me, if nobody else, because I have a different perspective on what it is we're dealing with. Hey, God bless you all. Thanks. We covet your prayers. Thanks for putting up with me, my little venting here this morning. We got a good, hearty crew. We're not discouraged. We're moving on. It's just, boy, we got a different, it's halftime, you know. We get doing a little bit of halftime adjustment after last night and be a little bit more prepared for it this morning. Besides, it was 60 yesterday, 25 right now. So we got to really bundle up and face it. God bless you. We'll see you all on Monday morning.